Welcome to another episode of the Finding Strong Podcast. I'm Coach Mark Bottenhorn, and I'm joined by ultra endurance athlete, my friend, my training partner, Arthur Blue. And our episodes touch on a variety of topics, including performance, fitness, nutrition, and mental health, as well as mindset. If you're here, we're happy you're here. We're happy that you found us. Now let's dive in to this week's episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Finding Strong Podcast. I'm Mark Bottenhorn, and I'm sitting alongside Arthur Blue. Arthur, what's going on?
What's up, brother? How's it going, man?
It's going good. Overall, going good. Just been working, training, you know, same thing. Same thing you've been doing. So, what's up with you?
Same, man. This my morning run today, the humidity was 89%, dude. It's back in full force. It's thick out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's back. It's nasty out there, and I forgot how good we had it. Didn't realize how good we had it there, but either way, we're going to make it happen because you got to.
Oh, yeah.
It's the situation that we're in, right?
You can't look at your Strava or your Garmin because it's going to read inaccurate for you for a little bit. But
well, that's why that's a big reason why I'm an advocate of training off of rate of perceived exertion. Because if you're doing these easy runs at a 1, 2, 3 out of 10 effort, you can always do them at 1, 2, 3 out of 10 effort, right? Yep. The pace might change, but the objective doesn't change, and the adaptations are still going to be the same. So yeah. That's another reason why I'm a huge fan of rate of perceived exertion. So got some new stuff going on first before we jump into this episode. But first and foremost, after a great while, Arthur and I have finally got some apparel ready to launch this weekend of the Finding Strong collection. So we have a shirt in two colors, admittedly, maybe a little too close to each other in color, but we have those, and we have some really exciting promotions around them. So we're going to talk about some of those this weekend, but just want to get that out on the radar. How you feel about that, Arthur?
Dude, I can't wait to rock it. I was rocking the old one of the ones you created some years ago at the shop, and I had a few people interested in like, how do I get one? And I said it was part of the time capsule collection.
So. Yep. So hopefully that will be that stuff down the line that we're looking at. But right now we got our main Finding Strong T-shirt. So we will be launching that, which is really cool. Really cool to see it coming to fruition. I know there's a lot of demand for it. So thank you all for that. Appreciate you all for that. And then in an unrelated note, a new announcement, I have hired Ryan Miller again to work with him as an athlete. So my old coach Ryan is coaching me again starting today. I mean, his training philosophy is very similar. We come from a very similar school of thought. It's a pretty collaborative effort between him and I, but it feels really good that I write training for so many people to finally not really have to worry about my own and to be back with Ryan. And I knew that I always would be, but I just wanted to make sure I was completely focused back to racing, back to being competitive. And we'll talk about that a little bit in today's episode because it's part of what we're talking about. But Arthur and I want to talk a little bit about why don't you break it down what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, and this came out of a sequence of conversations I was having at work and just seeing trends and hearing people complain about their current state or where they're at in life. And that's both as it relates to professionally and as it relates to health and wellness. I want to preface it with I am not trying to come from a perspective of like, I think I know it all or I'm better or whatever the case may be, because I've jacked up many, many times in my life and I will jack up again, probably today and in the future. So I definitely don't want to come across as someone like that. So let's just be clear with that. But one thing I will never do is not own my situation in life, whether it be good or bad. I put myself in those situations, whether it's health, whether it's professionally, and I just see a lack of accountability, Mark. And it's kind of frustrating me when I see it. And I hear conversations with people who want better for themselves, but don't want to put the work in to get to their desired goal. They want to be given an opportunity when sometimes in a form of a dollar amount, when the opportunity could be that the opportunity itself can be the chance to prove yourself, to get the skills that you might lack, to get to that next level in life. And I don't know if you're seeing that too. And before we go down a rabbit hole, I definitely want to let you chime in there.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say it seems like Arthur is pretty fired up here. So this should be a good one. No, in general, I mean, I think I see it all the time, right? We live in a society, again, that we talk about, that's rife with instant gratification. And I see it all the time from athletes that I'm prospectively going to work with as a coach. I see it from athletes that I know. I see it, frankly, from myself at times in a couple different ways. So I don't think that this is you up here on a soapbox preaching, saying that you're holier than thou or better than somebody else. Because the reality is, we all go through these things. We all have moments of weakness in this way. We all kind of fall victim to this mindset, to our own minds at times. So I do want to preface this with that disclaimer. And I think that I will talk about some of my personal experience with it that I'm going through right now currently. I just came back to racing, won two races with really solid performances. And here I am still saying, I don't think that I've taken full accountability. I don't think I've taken full ownership of my actions, my situations, and where I'm at right now. So from a performance perspective, and I know that you were talking in a career perspective, but from a performance perspective, I think this has a really important application. So I'm really excited to jump into this part of it. So Arthur, why don't you take us through?
Yeah, and I think I'll stick to the health and wellness for now, but I think, you know, when people are starting their journey or, you know, looking to the left and right, and I see this again in one of the jobs that I do is run specialty. So I hear customers come in all the time and say, I can't run anymore because of X, Y, and Z, or wait until you have kids, wait until life grabs you, because they don't, you know, for whatever reason, they don't know my age. And so they're always presenting these situations as to why they can't do what they used to do. And again, like, no one's saying you have to be, you know, Uncle Rico from freaking Napoleon Dynamite and relive your glory days, but you should be striving to do something to get to reengage that physical fitness motor and that engine and that lust for life that you once have. And again, too many times you see people who are sitting there blaming their situation, blaming everything around them except for pointing a finger at themselves and saying, "What did I do to get here? How am I the one that's accountable? How can I hold myself accountable for my actions?" Whether it's, hey, I drink too fucking much, so I need to stop drinking in order to get the best out of myself. And if that means you need to put it down temporarily until you can jumpstart that engine, or if you need to put it down for good because it no longer serves you, that's a big boy, big girl decision that you need to make. And then in your professional life, if it's like, hey, I'm not getting a promotion because they don't like me, or whatever your situation may be, how about you do some internal reflection, some internal work, and see, well, maybe I'm lacking this skill set. And instead of saying, like, I won't do this certain job until you pay me for it, present an opportunity where they're like, you know what? I never thought about that. And you killed it in this assignment. So let me promote you ahead of peers. And I just, again, it just, when I see people who just lack that internal reflection and that the dropping the victim mentality and saying, okay, fuck it, this is my situation, let me push forward. How do I get to where I want to go?
No, 100%. So what I see you talking about is kind of a couple different things. One, you're talking about a fixed mindset. Like, this is the situation I'm in. It's like this because of this, insert excuse, insert excuse, insert excuse. Or you have a growth mindset where it's, my situation is like this currently, but I can do this, this, or this, and this is how I'm going to do it, or whatever it may be. So one, we're talking about a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, and you're talking about that there in that situation. And while you're talking about, in some ways, career, in some ways, athletic endeavors, pursuits, all these things really run parallel to each other.
And, exactly.
And this is something that we talk about on the podcast all the time, because you and I aren't just athletes. We are athletes, but it's not also our primary identity, because we're parents. You know, we're employees, we're business owners, we're more than that. And we have to wear and juggle multiple hats. And at the same time, like, all of these things intersect and they all play off each other. And then they all really complement each other. And they're all just a metaphor for each other. And then the number two thing is, like, you know, you said you don't have to relive your glory years or your glory days or whatever it is. But I can't imagine a life in which my glory years aren't still ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So that's the part for me. I don't think I can be here sitting here at 34 right now saying, well, in 2020, that's when I reached my peak 4 years ago at age 30, because I don't believe that. I believe, and I won't believe that when I'm 44, and I won't believe that when I'm 54, because there's always something you can do to get the strongest and best version of yourself. You might get slower. You might be able to run further. You know, you might take on more endeavors in different realms. But the reality is like sharpening yourself and becoming the best version of yourself is a multi-decade process. It's not a multi-year process. It's not a destination. It's not you're there and you're done. Now it's behind me. So self-growth is always there, whether you're 34 or, you know, 84, doesn't matter. So I think that that's a positive. But the truth is that if you are lacking accountability, if you are prone to making excuses, I think that you're not getting enough out of yourself. And let's be honest, we all make excuses. We all can find a reason not to do something. And it's not like you and I don't fall into that trap at times too.
Everybody. Yes,
but it's resisting the urge to do that. It's doing things that you don't want to do in that moment that lead you to where you want to be overall. And one thing that you were talking about on the career side of thing is you're talking about, like, if this doesn't suit me right now, like in terms of I'm not getting more monetary pay for this, right? Then why would I do it? But you're doing it because maybe the extra experience is the pay. You're doing it maybe because you're providing yourself an opportunity to prove yourself to your prospective employer. I'm not saying go out and work for free and be stupid, but what I'm saying is prove how valuable. In life, we have to prove our worth before we're worth anything. And it's just like that in the aerobic realm of things. It's just like that in the strength training realm of things. Like, you don't just go rip 600 pounds off the floor on a deadlift. You have to put in the work and pay your dues. And I see how this goes. So give me some scenarios, Arthur. Let's work through this.
Yeah. I was going to say that I think too, like, finding joy in the grind or the process or whatever, you know, you want to call it, because once you reach that mountaintop, you never really arrive. Like, I think what people think is like, if I get the job, if I get the, you know, if I conquer Leadville or if I, you know, crush High Rocks, whatever it is, like, that is it. That's it. Like, but life is a marathon, dude. Like, it never ends until it ends, right? Until you're 6 feet under or whatever you believe in. Mm-hmm. Once that happens, and then you won't have any frame of reference for it anyway, but once that happens, that's when it's over. But, you know, I think, again, people want to get to the end point so damn fast that they neglect everything that it takes to get there.
Yeah, I think when you're solely focused on the destination or what you perceive as a destination, you forget to really enjoy the journey. And the destination might be a marathon, it might be 50 miles, it might be a promotion, it might be a multi-day race, but at the end of the day, it's the thousands of hours that you put in sharpening yourself. It's like the old stonecutter metaphor, right? It's not the single blow of a hammer, but it's the multiple over and over again that ultimately lead to the stone cracking. And that's the way life is. But if you don't enjoy each bang of the hammer, then what are you doing it for? Because that makes up such a large, vast percentage of it. So I actually, and you know, you're talking about being 6 feet deep as well. And I always thought that I wanted to be turned into like a tree or something. You know how people are like planted into a tree in memorial. But I realize now that I think I want to be buried. And not only that, I want to be buried because in case they can bring me back, like technology comes around in the future.
Hey, you know, sidebar, but that's actually a thing. And when I was, you know, a banker in that past life of mine, it was these wealthy people who invest in cryo. It's like cryo insurance. And I don't want to confuse it, but it's, or I don't know the actual name of the, you know, what they use, but yeah, they invest in the cryo insurance so they can have their body frozen until, you know, hey, maybe something happens in the future where they can wake me back up and bring me back into this.
Yeah, cryogenic. Yeah, cryogenic. That's what happened to Austin Powers, right?
Yeah, and Futurama, if you watched that.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Fry fell into the thing when he was delivering pizza. So it is real. We know it's proven because it happened on Austin Powers and it happened on Futurama. So I know that it can happen. So that's what I want to do. So side note over. So I want to talk about, here is something that I've struggled with in my return to competition. And it applies, I think, pretty consistently with what we're talking about. So I have trouble because in some ways, I'm not taking full ownership of my current situation in this moment. And what it is that I'm struggling with is I've returned back to racing. I've returned back to training very competitively. And I'll look at workouts that I do where I'm like, well, that was better than last week. It was really good. That was better than a month ago. You know, my volume is consistently here. It's been this amount for weeks. But man, I used to run 95 miles a week on all singles. Or, you know, I'm back in the gym doing some really heavy focused or whatever it is. And I'm like, but man, I used to squat, you know, 454 pounds. Or man, like my body used to look so much better. And not really by doing that, I'm like, I'm in the past thinking about what I was like in 2020.
Yeah.
And I'm in the future thinking about what I want to be like to be back to that, but I'm not really owning the current moment that I'm in. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's some of what we were talking about, right? Like you have to own where you are currently. And again, you can reflect on what you used to be, but I think you just have to shift your focus and find a new goal. If getting back to being a, you know, a powerlifting champ is what you want to do, then you just put the work in to get there and surpass what you once were. If you know, competing at High Rocks and being at the top of your game and that is what you want to do, then you just pursue that and be the top again, right? Like that gave you a baseline and a standard of knowing what you can accomplish. And now you just push past that. You use it for motivation, right? Like, I know I can get through this. I know I have the ability to push through it, but that's not who I am right now. I'm getting ready to push past that.
Yeah, yeah. So like I wanna do all of those things and I wanna be incredible, all those things. Like the powerlifting, I could probably take it or leave it. Like I won the regional championship, set the Texas State record in the back squat. I think I'm done with that. Right. I did that while ultra running. But the ultra running, the High Rocks, like I wanna continue to rise the ranks in hybrid athletics. I wanna push the limits of what people think are possible, right? Like I'd love a 500-pound squat and a sub 5-minute mile. I think it's doable. I'd love to see what I could do on the Go Ruck side of things. I'd love to see all of these things and take on these crazy challenges. So I'm not going to say I just want to do one thing. But I guess my question is, how do I not let where I'm at now discourage me? And I want to say that with a disclaimer, or I want to say that with the caveat that I understand that I'm at an advanced level of fitness, right? My VO2 max is probably close to 70. Right. If I were to go run a 5K right now, I'm probably squarely in the mid 16s. Yeah. Like I'm quite fit. I'm running 10 mile runs at 5:56 pace on like workout days. So I get that, but I'm not where it takes a lot more effort to do that. Yeah. Like it. So how do I not get discouraged? Right. And the reason I ask this is I know the answer to some degree.
Yeah.
But I want to hear your input on it too. But there are also a lot of listeners who are going through this and saying maybe before I stop working out for 5 years. And again, I know that I never did that. Right. I was never like unfit classically, but I just want to talk about that for the listeners because that's a common question I get. It's something I deal with my athletes. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think the best way is to own where you are, right? You can't change the past, but you damn sure can affect your future by starting today. And so I think that term that's being tossed around right now, a lot of military guys are doing it, is extreme ownership, right? Extreme ownership of your life. And best, I think that's what –
best book I've ever read. I'll say that right now. It's I always hate when people are like, oh, that changed my life or this, that book. I will say, in my opinion, only for me, not for anybody else, that book changed my life. Extreme ownership. Yeah.
They identify a set of principles that you can apply to your life to own it again, like you once did. Right. And I think that's where a lot of people can benefit from what we're talking about right now, is just owning their situation. And it goes back to what I was saying. If alcohol is your problem, you know that. Own it. Own it and fucking face it head on. Put it down until you get to where you want to go. If you're wearing too many hats as a single parent, as a, you know, or a family man or family woman, whatever your situation may be, own it. You have 30 minutes to put aside. If you have time to watch Netflix or whatever else, you know, streaming platform that you use, then you have time to invest in your personal well-being and your health and wellness. And that doesn't mean go run for 20 miles because not everyone, that is a luxury. I will admit that, to be able to do that. But you have 30 minutes, right? Like you have, if it takes you, you know, putting on something for your kids and you're sitting in the living room and just knocking out a block of push-ups, you can do that. And that starts, and that gives you, you know, the momentum that you might need to continue on your mission. But I think that's what's lacking for a lot of people, is just not having that extreme ownership or that personal accountability for where they are and just saying, this is my reality. Now let me move forward from here.
Okay. Yeah, good. Okay. So I like that. So let me stop you right there. So I want to go in. So put a pause on where you're at right there, because mm-hmm. I want to go into that, because there's a couple common questions that I'm often faced with, or that I see all the time. And so I want to go into those with you. But first, back to the situation where I'm talking about myself or my situation not being happy with where I'm at right now. So the reality for me is that I have to own that this is not 2020 anymore, right? I'm not training the way I was in 2020, though I'm getting back there, right? So being patient, loving the journey, continuing to say every day, like, this is, it's chop wood, carry water, right? Like we've been talking about every single day. So it's loving the process. Like today, I just have an easy 6 miles with 6x15-second hill sprints. And I mean, I'm telling you, that's how Ryan and I are so like aligned on it, that his training, like we're just alike. So it's almost like in a weird way, like, I mean, I still have a lot I can learn from it. It's like I'm coaching myself. But anyway, so 6x15-second hill sprints at the end of my run. So like, I'm going to go knock that out and just take pride in that every single day and say, I'm here right now. I'm going to work hard. And I'm appreciate where I'm at right now, because I'm very fortunate to be where I'm at right now. But then mm-hmm. I'm going to also just know that every day I'm going to check the box and get better in every way. And I'm going to continue to make those little tiny decisions that add up and put me closer to being where I was before, and then surpassing that, and then surpassing where I was before. Because that showed me what I could do, you're right, at a minimum. But who knows what the maximum is, right? And that's what we're here to try to find. So yes, owning my situation to where it is right now. And okay, so let's go back into what you were talking about. So you were talking about timing, right? So what would you say to somebody who doesn't work out right now, and they're either totally sedentary, or they're not working out very much, as much as they'd like, and you know, they have kids, they have a job, all these things. What would you say? Because one of my athletes that I coach, she's a personal trainer. She has 4 kids. She said, I have 4 kids. She said this yesterday, actually. She said, I have 4 kids. My client who's coming in, she has 4 kids. If we're finding a way to make it happen, you can make it happen. And she wasn't talking to me. She's just talking to the general Instagram audience. But again, everybody has different situations. So what would you say to somebody that says, I want to work out, like I want to add fitness into my life, but I don't have time? That's the most common one. I don't have time. So what would you say?
I call, you know, bullshit on that, because I don't think that's fair to the people that you brought into this world as a parent, to say, I don't have time for my health and wellness, because you're not doing it for yourself. Like, I'm not saying go sign up for a race. I can care less if someone ever signs up for a race. I'm talking about being an asset to your family over a liability. You can find time. Again, if you can find time to watch and stream shows, you have time to do something health conscious and productive. You know, again, it starts with micro movements and micro changes in your life. Don't start the fad diet that's not really achievable for you and that works in your situation. Just change the small things in your life and make micro changes to affect the macro picture. So I think when people come up with time, when they say they don't have time as a factor of why they can't be healthy, it's just bullshit. You just don't make time. You're choosing to be lazy. And I think the faster people come to terms with that, the faster they can move to the next step in the plan, which is to get up and do something.
Okay. Yeah. So owning that you don't really want it, right? You don't want it as bad as you think you do, at least. I think so many people are like, okay, well, I want to get fit, so I'm going to go do this, like, insert bodybuilding diet that I saw. But it's like, if you can't find the time to train regularly, that you think you can't find the time to train, you can't do all this, you're not going to be able to probably, realistically, you're not going to be able to handle the meal prep, the carb cycling, the meticulously measuring foods, right? So let's own where we're at, right? So if that comes down the line, if that's effective, I could argue that might not even be ever effective for you, but if it is, that comes down the line.
Yeah.
So I think most people can find a way to carve out 4 days a week to train, to do some kind of mixed modality training, to do some kind of running. Maybe you start with walking, you know, run 30 seconds, walk 2 minutes and repeat and repeat and repeat. And
that's it.
But you can find a way to do it. And now we're not saying to live the way that Arthur and I choose to live, because that isn't for everybody. And we both take joy in doing what we do. So I would never tell somebody, like, hey, if you like watching TV, just stop watching TV altogether, because that doesn't make sense to me. But what you might want to do is get it. You can go to Walmart. Mm-hmm. This is not a plug for Walmart. I don't recommend shopping there necessarily, but you can go to Walmart. You can get a kettlebell. You know, you can get a 20-pound, 30-pound, 40-pound, 50-pound kettlebell for somewhere between 20 and 50 bucks, depending on the one. Okay. And most people who are beginners aren't going to need a 50-pound kettlebell, right? You can do with one single kettlebell, and your kids, you know, coloring, playing on a tablet, hanging out with you, watching you, being involved with you,
yep,
you can get some stuff done. You know, I have some athletes who are super busy, and I kind of have them on what I coin is like a hybrid express plan, right? Where they give me 45 minutes 4 days a week. And there have been athletes who have told me that their lives have changed with 45 minutes and 4 days a week. And I think everybody listening can find some way to get 30 to 45 minutes 4 days a week.
Yeah.
I think that's – yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, you and I both live very, very busy lives. I mean, work multiple jobs, have families. And the other day, my daughter's T-ball game was – rained out, so they had two back-to-back games on Monday, Tuesday, and practice before both games. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have freaking time to get my workout in. Well, my second workout, I got time to go to the gym. But then before her practice, I'm running laps around the field to get my miles in, and then standing out there all day to be present for her game. So again, like, we're telling you stuff that we're implementing and executing in our own life. It's not like, again, we're not coming from – I don't want our listeners to think like these guys are just tools and they're, you know, talking about something that they can't relate to my life. I'm like, yes, we absolutely can relate to this. And that's why my passion and my frustration comes out when I hear people come up with excuses as to why they can't live a healthy, productive life, when we're living proof that yes, you can.
Yeah. I'm talking about this and I'm passionate about this because I want this for all of you. Like, I'm fired up. Like, I'm happy because this is important to me because I want this for all of you guys. And so, yeah, that's why we're talking about it. But the reality is that I did a run the other morning, and then I had Maya and Bianca at night. Is Brittany here to do something? And I needed to get a workout in. So I brought my kettlebell inside and I made them dinner. And while they were eating dinner, I was in the dining room swinging this kettlebell around and doing different kettlebell movements. Like, the reality is I still wanted to get that workout in, because I know what? If I don't get that workout in that day, then next day I don't get the workout in. It becomes a habit, and it becomes hard to break that cycle. So if I put some on the schedule, come hell or high water, I'm pretty much going to finish it and stick to it. And that's come from a long time, a lot of experience, and knowing myself and that's taking ownership again. Because it's like, okay, you know what? I had a chance to get this in during a lunch break and I didn't do it because I started scrolling on Instagram. So not as a punishment, but now I have to get this done at night. And we're not telling you to take away time from your kids or any of this stuff. But, you know, me sitting there with that kettlebell, that's normal for my kids.
Yeah.
You know, Maya's got her own little kettlebell. She's got her own little dumbbells. And you running laps around your daughter's softball complex, that's normal.
Yep.
That's normal for the kids and probably all their parents too. And the reality is, like, you're setting a good example. You're saying that fitness is important to me. My health and longevity is important to me. The pursuit of my own goals and passions are important to me. And my health to be around you long term and to be really productive and you know, to be happy and live a long life with my kids is really important to me too. So, I think so many people who say, I don't have the time, are thinking of working out as a luxury, some kind of like extravagant amenity. But the reality is that it's neither of those things. It's a bare minimum, you know, it's a necessity. And you owe it to yourself. You deserve to do the things that you want to do. You deserve to find time for the things you want to do. And you owe it to your kids, because they deserve to have somebody to look up to that sticks to their goals and routines and lives them a life like, this is the life I want my kids to live. So I got to show it. I got to lead by example.
Yep. No, absolutely.
And I think we've hit on that one pretty good. So let's talk about, okay. So we talked about, I don't have time. You know, we both gave examples of trying to find a way to make time when situation's not ideal. Mm-hmm. Taking ownership over it. And then I will say that people do say, like, they'll come on my Instagram post and they'll say, well, it must be nice to have a gym in your house. It must be nice to have a treadmill and a fitness studio in your house on top of the other two things. But, you know, it's not nice, because I I realized that I needed this stuff to do what I wanted to do in life. And I found a way to make it happen. And I sacrificed a lot to do it.
Yeah.
I don't go on vacation. I don't, you know, I don't do these things. My vacation is in that garage, or it's in that fitness studio in the front. Mm-hmm. You know, so at the same time, like I sacrifice on other things to be able to have the things that I want, whether it's the car that I want or the fitness and the training stuff I want. So that must be nice. They aren't people who say that to me aren't about this life, because if you find a way to get it done, we're not cut from the same cloth. So I don't even bother responding to that anymore. I used to get offended by that. I just let it go. If you want something, you owe it to yourself to do it. Arthur and I are here as resources to tell you ideas that have worked for us. We're here to hear about ideas that have worked for you too, because I want to learn. But at the end of the day, it's on you. You have to take the onus, you take the ownership. If you want to do something and say, I don't have time, then you will make time. Go to bed 30 minutes earlier, get up 30 minutes earlier, find some way to streamline your lunch, buy meal prep, whatever it is, find a way to do it. And then, you know, so moving on, let's go to people say it's expensive to, let's insert anything that they're making excuses about, but let's say it's expensive to be fit or it's expensive to eat healthy. We'll put those into one silo. Let's go with that one, Arthur.
Yeah. And I also say nursing homes are expensive. You're going to pay for it on one end or the other, right? Like, you're either going to pay for it now and make this investment into, because it is an investment, a long-term investment in how you want to be. Again, asset over liability is the only way I can really put it. And it's, especially as you talk about down the line, right? Like how your family is going to be responsible for you at one point. And do you want to be a burden to your children, to your spouse? And they have to take you to all these appointments that you could have prevented if you would have just implemented those micro changes in your life early on, when you thought you didn't have time. Because, you know, once you're a diabetic, it's kind of hard to walk that back, man. And it's tough. It's tough. But again, you have to have that hard conversation. Like, do I want to make this investment now, or do I want to pay for it down the line? Because yes, we can talk about inflation, interest rates, and all that crazy stuff. Yes, things are expensive right now. But again, so is everything else. And you just have to figure out what is important to you. Where can you cut? Where, you know, how can I cook at home more often versus going out? Or how can I, all these food service platforms, you can get a meal prep for, you know, probably cheaper than you can go out to eat. So I would just do your research and figure out, again, what is important to you. Can you sacrifice the meals and start there? Or can you just implement the $20 a month gym membership and get a 30-minute class that you know you'll be held accountable at? And hopefully that even holds you further accountable because you paid for this.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you can get apps on your phone. You can get programming right on your phone. There are body weight workouts. You can run laps around your block, stopping every – you can say, I'm going to run for 30 minutes and I'm going to stop every 3 minutes and do 5 burpees. Like, there is something you can do at a baseline to affect fitness. We're not talking about high level performance, because that requires some other type of demon right there. But we're talking about baseline fitness, so getting your place, you know, to filling your cup with small changes that you want to make. Like, why can't you run around your own block for 30 minutes and do burpees, you know, do different calisthenics, whatever it is. There are a lot of free, like, at least in the Dallas, and I know not everywhere has this, but like in the Dallas area, there are a lot of like free outdoor gyms too, which are really cool. But I understand coming from where I came from in Detroit, not everybody has these things. Like, these are immense.
Cold in the D, man.
Oh, so cold in the D. Yeah. I don't know how you're supposed to keep the peace with that type of shit, you know? but anyway, you know, moving on to that, you know, you talked about this. Arthur, let me tell you something. I mean, let me ask you something. If I were to say to you, hey, don't, if you eat that cheeseburger right now, you're going to die right now. Mm-hmm. That's poisoned. You wouldn't put that in your mouth and eat it. No, you'd say absolutely. No. But when we tell society, and I fall into this too, so I'm not above it. But when we say, hey, if you continue to eat the way that you're eating and have the habits that you're having, not today, not tomorrow won't strike you down, but in 20 years, your quality of life will be lower. In 30 years, you'll be dead. People know this. People know that the number one killer of Americans is heart disease. People know that, you know, 40-something% of Americans are obese. People know that those things lead to the two things that kill you the most, like different cancers and heart disease. But they still do it because it doesn't impact them right now.
Yes, that's what it is.
And you wouldn't drink poison because that's going to kill you right now. But we have to think long term. And so that's what the same thing we have to think. So like, if you don't work out today, fine. If you don't work out tomorrow, fine. If you don't find a way to improve your nutrition today or tomorrow, fine. But it's not that that does it. It's the cumulative buildup of not doing it and the habit that you're building and not doing it. So if you want to do something, you say, hey, I want to be healthier, but I don't have time, then make time. I want to eat healthier, but it's expensive. Then find cheaper solutions, cut back on costs elsewhere. But it's, again, everything's expensive, like you said. Yeah. Rent's expensive. The mortgage is expensive. Interest rates are expensive. Like the average interest rate on a used car right now is about 9.5%, right?
Yeah.
So like you're not going to get anything cheap in this life. So you're going to suffer either way. We talk about this. So which type of suffering are you going to choose? You're going to delay the onset, or you're going to do the things that you don't always necessarily want to do right now that don't feel good in the moment that are going to be great long term? Because there's stuff that feels really good and you do it right now and you regret it almost immediately after, and you feel shitty and you feel sick. Alcohol is one of them, right?
Yeah.
It feels good. It feels great to be social and happy and positive. But that night when you can't sleep and you're tossing and turning, you can't breathe. And then the next morning you're hungover with a pounding headache and you're depressed, right? Like in the moment that feels good, but then as a repercussion, it's bad. And then training, like it doesn't always feel good in the moment, but I challenge you to find a time when you go out and you train, you go out and do that 30-minute run with the burpees and you don't finish and come in and shower, eat some good food. And you tell me you don't feel good. I implore somebody to go out and tell me that they regret a workout. Yeah. I've only regretted a workout one time in my life. And it's because I got hit by a bike. I always feel better when I go out and train. But one cold night in February in the D, this guy swerved his bike off the side of the road, hit me on the bike path head on. I was probably running about 9 miles an hour. He was probably riding about 15, and the immovable force hit me. And I don't know what the saying is, but you get my point. And we collided, and I had bruised ribs. I was out of commission. So that time I did regret it, but that's an outlier. So I challenge you to say, man, I wish I didn't work out today. So the reality is, are you going to make the decision right now in the moment and take ownership of it? Or are you going to say, yeah, I kind of want it until it's time to do it, then you don't want it enough?
Yeah. Yeah. And when you were talking, man, it made me think of the greatest athlete, not debatable. So whatever, people can say what they want. The greatest athlete of all time, Deion Primetime Sanders. And, you know, I mean, the guy hit a home run in a World Series and scored in the Super Bowl. Nothing. That's elite, dude. Like that would never be duplicated. But anyway, people can debate that all they want, but they can talk amongst themselves. Deion Sanders is the best athlete of all time. But he had a quote that said, "You look good, you feel good. You feel good, you play good. You play good, you get paid good." And I mean, like that right there, right, should be motivation and inspiration for some people. That, man, like your confidence when you're living a healthy life and when you're, you know, hitting your stride goes through the roof. Like, tell me on a good day, when you're running hard, you're lifting heavy, you feel fucking good, dude.
You do. And you start, it's contagious too. And it's palpable. Yeah. And you set an example for the people around you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I saw your run on Monday and I was procrastinating and I was like, you know what? No, I got to go out and get this run in. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I saw your run. And it's like, again, it's that iron sharpens iron thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't always want to do this, and I want to shout that out loud and clear.
Yes.
I don't always love this. I don't love to go out and run when it's 105 degrees. I don't love to do a speed workout when there's 23-mile-an-hour winds.
Yep.
And you find a way to get it done. And the weather was terrible on Monday, and you were out there training, and I went to go run, and my Wi-Fi was up, and my Peloton didn't work. And I wanted to do whatever, for whatever reason, I run 80% of my miles outdoor. But for whatever reason, I wanted to run that fucking Peloton that day and it didn't work. And I said, God. And I was pissed off. And then I saw your Instagram post and I said, you know what? I already got these shoes laced. I got to go out and do this. And I went out and did it. And so sometimes like the impact that you have on other people is really like probably not realizing this. But the reality is, like, I'm not here shouting and saying like, you have to do this, you don't, whatever. I'm not going into people's lives and telling them that they have to go after the things that they say they want. But if you want it in earnest, then you got to go out and earn it, and you got to go out and get it, and you got to make it happen. And you got to stop saying, I would do it if. Cut the ifs out and just say, I will do it. You got to stop saying it must be nice. Then create it for yourself if you like this environment. I didn't start with this state-of-the-art gym. Like, all I had was a rowing machine that I financed with 0% financing and a kettlebell in a weighted vest. And I built it into what it is today. But you can go buy a wall ball for $20. You can go buy a kettlebell for $30. I drive around during selling seasons with those two things in my car. You can ask my boss, God strike me dead if I don't do it. I picked him up from the airport. I got kettlebell and wall ball in my car. I don't leave it up to the hotel gym even. I can get it out right out in the hotel parking lot. So, and that's because one, I know that I love this life and I'm about this life. But two, I know that I can't leave anything to chance. If you want it, you got to go out and get it. We're not coming into anybody else's lives and telling them that. Like, presumably, if you're listening to this podcast, right, you're also trying to find the, in a collaborative way, trying to find the strongest version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're here talking about it. But to piggyback off where you were when we started this podcast, I can't stand the excuse making. I can't stand the lack of ownership. And I partially can't stand it because I used to live that way and I talk about it a lot. And I can't stand it because I don't ever want to see that in somebody else because I went through it. Yeah. And I know how weak that made me. And I know how irritable it made me, how sad and depressed it made me. I cannot live like that anymore. And I hate to see other people go through it when I know that they're capable of so much more.
Dude, and that made me think about my situation and where I'm at right now. Like, I remember having these grandiose dreams of what I wanted my life to look like, but how I was actually living my life was not on the path to get me there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just remember, like, I want to be there. I want to accomplish this. I want to be at this level. I want to work at this job.
Give me an example.
Yeah. Like, so, like, I mean, where I'm at physically fit, health and wellness wise, like I always said, I want to go run Leadville. I want to win a sprint try, which I did in February of last year. I want to come in first in a race. I came in first in a 24-hour race. But it wasn't until I owned where I was in life that I got there. Like, I was still trying to drink and still trying to do all these other things, but had these plans of what I wanted to do, but not actually doing them. It's like, you know, people, it's an element of this world that's going to be okay with where they are. And that's fine. This is not for you. This is for the strivers, the people who want to get to that next level, but feel like they can't because of everything else in their life that they don't want to let go, which we mentioned. And again, I'm saying this so passionately because, as you just said, I remember being that way. Like, I want to get to this elite level or as close to elite as I fucking can. But I wasn't doing elite level work Monday through Monday. I was looking at other people's Instagram and looking at what this other person was doing and playing a comparison game and looking at their house and run down the line. But I wasn't grinding and making the sacrifices that I needed to make to get there. I still wanted to have this robust social life, even though I wasn't a fucking social person. I just thought I had to do that. I still wanted to drink. I still wanted to hang out late and sleep in. I still wanted to do all of these things, but also have it this way where I was elite too. And those.
So how did you stop it and change it?
Hey, put the bottle down, put the alcohol down, go start
cold turkey. You just quit drinking.
Yeah. I literally woke up clear as day, or not clear as day, 'cause I'm sure I was in a haze from being drunk all night the night before, but I remember asking God, like, can you just remove this from my life? Because I felt like it was just no longer serving me. But I was just spiraling every fucking day, man, just doing the same thing, being insane, thinking that I could continue to drink like that and get to those levels that I wanted to get to. And so I just woke up, man, and just kicked it. Just kicked it. And then 30 days, right? Yes, you break it down by increments of 30 and you get to that next 30. And it's, you know, you live it day by day, but you're looking forward to 30 days out. And so, like, again, like, it's a chapter of my life that will always be there, and I'll always reflect on it and always, like, know how low I felt at my lowest points. But it also pushes me and propels me to never, ever get that. Anytime I think I'm getting close to that, you'll see on my Strava, I go fucking get it. Like, that's one of those days where I just have to lock in and maybe work out 3 times a day to just when I'm just, like, doing a dark reflection on, you know, being in one of those dark moments, like, man, is it worth it? Or just questioning everything. And I use those dark days as motivation to just go get it even further.
Are you ever tempted to drink again? Do you ever feel that?
Or No, dude. Like, you saw when we hung out for Ash's birthday, dude. Like, the taste of alcohol is just, I never liked it. I used it as a way to mask emotions. and to not deal with
right.
the current, you know, it was just a numbing agent is what it was. And like everything else, that becomes addictive. And I'm pretty sure, you know, if any therapist is listening to this, they're probably like, you still need work. You just replace one thing with another, but that's fine. I'm fine living my life like that. And again, I don't want to detract from the point we're making, but yeah, I just, when I have those dark days of where I'm reflecting on, you know, how you made people feel in those dark moments and how you felt in those dark moments, I have to go get it extra hard that day.
Mm-hmm. No, I can see that. Yeah. I was just wondering. Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. That's the way it is for me too. Do you think that you're happy with where you're at now, fitness wise?
No.
Okay. So you achieved those things that you wanted to achieve.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily, now you're happy that you achieved them.
Oh yeah. Happy I achieved them.
But you're not happy with where you are.
No.
Even though you've achieved those things.
Even though, no. And that's the thing is like I talked about earlier, getting a job, winning the race doesn't provide the happiness, or, you know, getting to that mountaintop doesn't provide any type of, you know, you can be satisfied in the moment, but you know, Kobe was thinking about the next year's championship. Like, I want to get back here. And that's how I approach things in my life, because I'm not externally motivated by the race. It's an internal engine that drives me to pull the best version out of myself on a daily basis. And the way I can do that is through health and wellness and through physical competition.
Yeah. So accomplishment or what people perceive as a destination doesn't actually provide, it's the journey. It's more proof that it's the journey again. So if you're not where you want to be and you're stuck, right? You're stuck because you don't think you have enough time. You're stuck because you don't have enough money. You're stuck because you don't have enough resources. You're stuck because you don't have this. You have to get unstuck and do what you truly want for yourself. Now, if you're saying that you want these things and you don't really want them, then stay where you're at. Then stay stuck where you're at. And that's totally fine. And like Arthur said, this isn't probably for you. But the truth is there are a number of resources out there, right? And so people will say, well, I don't have the financial means to hire a coach. I don't have, you know, I can't hire a nutritionist or whatever it is. And there's so much like conflicting information on the internet, particularly around nutrition. It's insane. Yeah. Like you have people arguing, you have people now trying to argue that fiber is not healthy.
Yeah.
The one thing that we can probably prove in nutritional science is healthy. And you're saying that it's not. That it's insane. So I understand that. And so there is conflicting information. So what do you suggest for people who are, okay, so we've talked about the time factor. We've talked about the money factor. What do you talk about the resources factor when people just don't know who to believe, frankly, because you've got influencers peddling this crap. You've got influencers peddling that, trying to make a buck off you spending your money on this, or telling you to eat this all meat diet, you know, or whatever, meat and honey and berries or whatever. And it's like, the average person doesn't know where to go, right? If you're new to this, if you're very beginner in this, where do you go? How do you, like, I understand the plight of that person. How?
Yeah.
What would you do, Arthur?
No, I get that too, because especially if you have kids, right? And kids aren't going to eat everything. You got to it's a very limited menu for children, especially in today's world where it's like chicken nuggets, french fries, and pizza and hamburgers is, and again, kids are going to eat what they like. And so it's hard to figure that vein out. But I think it's a trial and error process. Anything is better than eating fast food every day. So if you cut there and just say, okay, well, let me try a few of these meals that from insert prepared foods organization, company.
Yeah.
And so you buy a few meals there, figure out what you like. Start there. Do your own research on these free websites like Mayo Clinic or whatever science.
Yeah, but I take it even further because I've seen conflicting information on Mayo Clinic even because you have different people contributing to the articles with different beliefs, different mindsets. And you can find any fucking study that will – you can find a study that will prove any theory that you – you know, any kind of confirmation bias you have, you can probably find some study. There are some studies that show people who smoke cigarettes have lower risks of – different mental illness. Like, would you then go and say smoking cigarettes is good for you? No, but you could take that article and twist it that way if you had an interest in it. And so that's the part that I run into. And I do understand that, but I think that the cure to that, and you were hitting on it, but the cure to that for me is very small changes, because we're not talking about hitting home runs. Everything in Major League Baseball is about the home run now, right? You're talking about it with Ichiro. You know, everything about it is the home run. But no, I mean, like when you try to swing for a lot of home runs, you strike out a lot too. So playing small ball and making small changes is the way to accumulate a lot of progression over time. It's small changes over time. That's how the Grand Canyon was formed, right? I mean, you got wind, you got water, erosion, right? It wasn't all in one day. It was millennia in the making. And on a smaller scale, that's how it is for our body. So you don't need to be a PhD in nutrition. Yeah. You know, you don't need to find out which everything is best. Some of it's trial and error, but just do the small things, make small changes. Like, you don't need to argue if this prebiotic fiber is better than this one, or if you're eating this too close to your workout. The main thing is get a workout in that day. Try to make pretty good choices in general. Like, take out a fried food for a not fried alternative to get you started. You know, if you're concerned about, well, I don't know if I should run in zone one, zone two, or zone three today. Well, honestly, just go out there and run. Yeah. And then, you know, as time goes on, so the best way to do it is just to get to it. There ain't nothing to it but to do it, like Ronnie Coleman said. So I think that's the cure for all that misinformation, is to go out, make small changes, and find out what works. Yeah. If you can't hire somebody who's an expert in the field, you don't have to be an expert in the field, but get out, get some experience, get some trial and error, practical application, meet people who are like-minded, find out what works for them, take it with a grain of salt, but think maybe you can apply it, and then go from there. Small changes over time add up to really, really phenomenal things. So that's what I want to reiterate. And so if you don't have 60 minutes to work out each day and you can't carve that out, maybe you can get there at some point. But you can get 30, you can get 20, you can do a really effective metabolic conditioning workout in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. And so as a result, this weekend, after we launch this podcast, I'm going to put up probably 5 or 6 workouts that somebody can do. Let's say you're going to work out 3 times, 30 to 45 minutes a week. I'm going to give you 2 weeks of workouts. So there you go. And this could be a catalyst to try it out. So I'm going to put those up on my story. Arthur, you can share them too. I'll tag you in them so you can share them. But we'll put them out that way. Anything else you want to touch on, Arthur, before we get off this podcast? Because I got to go.
No. Yeah. I appreciate you giving me a segment to ramble today, because I feel like, you know, this has been sitting on my chest for a couple weeks now. And again, it's just been growing. Frustration of just people. You know, and people blame the generation or whatever, but I take offense to that because I am a millennial. And I just want people to just be accountable, man. Like, hold yourself accountable, hold your, you know, the ones you love accountable. And, you know, cause we're all in this together, dude. Like, again, like you said, it's days I wake up and I do not feel like doing it. This morning when it was 89% humidity and I'm like 5 miles out and I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, it's just so thick, right? And it sucks, but I know once I finish that run, I will feel better than if I didn't do it.
Yeah, and you also know you're gonna feel like total shit if you're at Leadville and you don't feel that you're at that start line of Leadville and you don't feel like you did everything you could to prepare. There's gonna be a lot of doubt in your mind. There's gonna be a lot of doubt. There's gonna be a lot of regret.
Yep.
So again, you not doing what you wanted to do today and you choosing discomfort today pays off big time in the future. And that's another example of that. And no, I mean, you have this platform for what it is. And to be honest, this is like conversations that you and I have all the time in our free time.
Yeah.
This is what we have on a run. This is what we have on a phone call when we're both driving somewhere or whatever it is. And so it's really kind of fun once a month to kind of just bring these in. And I love to hear other people's thoughts on it. But again, we don't want to act like we're coming from some perch or something like that, because all of these things we've said, all of these things we've done, we've made excuses, we've passed off the ownership to other people, we've blamed other people for our situations, and we just want to hold each other accountable and not doing it moving forward, and we want you all to join us with that too. I mean, if you see me feeling sorry for myself on Instagram, fucking call me out. That's to any listener here. Call me out, because I need that. I need that. The more the merrier. But no, Arthur, I think that this was great. I think that you have a phenomenal point. This is something that we could talk about for 3 hours, but this is not the Joe Rogan Experience. And neither of us have 3 hours to belabor it. But no, I think that this was great. Arthur, if it's good with you, I think we'll end it here.
Hey, sounds good.
And we will say this, though. Thank you to everybody that tuned in. If you found value in our content, please feel free to like, share, subscribe on wherever it is the platform that you get your podcast, and please rate and review us on there as well. As we always say, without you, there is no us. I mean, we would physically exist, but we'd just be talking to nobody in this podcast. So we are grateful for you. And until next time, everybody, stay strong.